All right, welcome back. This is Brother Snoop coming to you live. Snoopy Talk, we have a new podcast we're collaborating with today. Karthik from the Deep Fleet. Karthik, please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Karthik. I run the Deep Fleet podcast on YouTube with my buddy Sven. And in that podcast, we aim to just talk about all sorts of different topics to learn more from the world around us. Finally, we are joined by V, who is watching YouTube right now. He's our
guest. Paying attention at all.
Not paying attention. So V, please introduce yourself.
Hey everyone. My name is V. The boss behind the scene, behind all these podcasts right here. No, I'm just kidding, but happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. V wants to ask us some questions. We're going to start off with maybe some rapid fire questions, maybe more explanations. So take it away.
Let's get into it. What do you got for us, eh?
Let's start off easy. How do you guys want to live your life?
I feel like the way everyone wants to live their life, no?
Not everyone.
Successful, really surprised. Happy. Well, you're right. Not everyone, because everyone has different levels of success they want to achieve. Everyone's happiness depends on different things. For me personally, I'd say I want to be able to live my life to a point where I can take care of myself and the people around me very well. And that's my end goal. And then hopefully get back to the community as well.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I think how I want to live my life is I try and be stoic, try and be God-fearing. And I don't know, I guess just try and control the things that I can and not worry about the other side, the things I can't control, and just try and focus on myself and the people around me and try to bring them up and support them. V, how about yourself, man?
I know I want to live my life in a way where I am my master of my own life, as in no one control me, actions and thoughts. And I want to be fully tapped in my full potential and not be ignorant of all the things I can accomplish, the things I can do in my life.
I have a piggyback question off of that. What do you guys think, I guess, your legacy would entail? Do you want a legacy? What would be the characteristics of that legacy? Double question.
Legacy is huge, right? And I'd say everyone wants to leave behind a legacy, but very few in this world will. Less than 0.1% of the population will truly, really leave behind a legacy. And unless you're a significant figure, and maybe not even celebrities, I'm talking at least in sports, right? Quick example, people who will definitely have legacies. People like Messi, like Ronaldo, LeBron, MJ, right? They are huge figures in their expertise, in their area of expertise. And they will for sure have legacies. But I'd say for the average Joe, legacy is really tough. Really, really tough. I think it would more so come down to the fact of not what legacy do you want to leave behind, but what do you leave behind for the people who know you best. I think that's my way of going about it, because no one else apart from my close friends and family and of course people that know me will really know me, you know what I mean, in a sense. And my goal would be to just live my life to the point where they always see the best in me and know that I'm there for them and vice versa, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think a legacy in modern times is thought of leaving a sort of stain of greatness on everyone. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't think it has to be that way. And also, doing that, firstly, requires, you know, infinite amounts of hard work and discipline, which not everyone's going to have. And to go to that end, let's say to run, I don't know, multi-million dollar company, not everyone wants to do that. I think that's totally fine. I agree with you in the sense that we should leave a legacy for the people that are close to us. Mm. Because you can do all the great things that, frankly, everyone has done, but that didn't mean that you were known by anyone. Like Nikolai Tesla. I forgot what he invented, but something with, AC/DC. Like he found or discovered AC/DC.
Thomas Edison, like the one that got famous for it.
Yes, that's a different story. But
a little history for you.
Nikolai Tesla, right? He discovered AC/DC. And that's, you could say, his legacy, but I'm pretty sure because Edison stole his idea, he was very depressed, right, if I'm correct, and he lived a life of sadness, probably towards his later years. So we can do all these great things, yeah, but if the circumstances of our success are not dependent on us, then that kind of sucks. So maybe our circumstances that are in our control, right, are our family, our friends, our close loved ones. So I think I'd want to leave a legacy like that. Like, try and do something meaningful in the world. Like, maybe that's start a business, or maybe that's have a good career, or whatever it might be in the workspace, but then also in the family space as well. I think that's the legacy that doesn't really get forgotten. And maybe it does get forgotten, but I think it leaves more of a stain, like a bigger stain, as opposed to just a small stain throughout everyone. Like, maybe someone like Messi or LeBron. I don't know. What do you think, V?
No, can agree more. Well said.
Well, you should say something else.
No, we're.
What's in that heading?
Let's keep it rapid.
Rapid. Yeah. Okay. What's?
We've been. You guys been provide a very detailed answer, so I would not do justice, but I keep adding on more to that.
Switching it up. What would you guys say, like, the hobbies that you have, what would you guys say made you choose those hobbies?
You start.
Well, I started lifting because I was so skinny and I didn't want to be skinny anymore. And then it started bringing all the benefits into my life and not just size.
What size?
Man, talk to
I started college. I entered college at 142 pounds. I was 17. 142 pounds. I was really skinny. I was like at like 5'10".
Yeah, I think I was like 150 when I came.
Yeah, that was very like.
Yeah, I was a fat kid. I was on the opposite side of you guys.
Oh. Means you got solid calves, bro.
No, unfortunately not. That's all V. V's got the calves unlocked.
All right, V. Continue.
Lots of people think that people just lift for the aesthetic, but it actually brings you so much more values than just that. Not many people realize that when you develop a discipline to train every single day, that discipline carries into other areas in your life, and it takes you off. The benefits just keep compounding. Another hobby I have is reading. That's pretty self-explanatory. You gotta always educate yourself, always trying to evolve your knowledge. And what's another one? Soccer. Soccer is just, it's always fun to kick the ball around with the boys. Play footy in the rain at night. Huge stress reliever. A very good outlet.
What's one of your bad habits? And why do you have that habit?
Bad habits. I would say is that when I am into something, very into something, passionate about something, I go too hard at it. I used to be worse than I am right now, but now I am starting to figure out a balance between everything. But like, say for example, like one of the hobbies I just mentioned, like it is so hard for me to take days off now. To like, no, I shouldn't play soccer today. No, I shouldn't go run today. No, I shouldn't lift today. It's so hard for me to take days off because I am.
He does not take days off.
That's so
for sure.
Devoted into it.
Has me running with him. Those fucking.
That just keep going. Yes. So I would say that's one of my bad habits. Is yeah, not be able to find a perfect balance.
But do you think there's a such thing as a perfect balance?
Well, there's no such thing as perfect thing. You just gotta do the best you can.
With the time you've given.
Yeah.
Karthik.
Sure, I'll go next. Like V, lifting, the gym. I got into that playing football, so I guess it wasn't really like a choice. You just kind of had to show up to the gym. Otherwise, you just get creamed, right? So that's no fun. I guess reading as well. I guess I mainly got into that. I think from my buddy Sven, he would send me different things. He's always sending me some video or something I should read. And I think once I had gotten away from one of my bad habits, which was a lot of video games, then I was able to devote more time to reading, and that really improved myself, obviously. I guess on the bad side, one of my bad hobbies is like YouTube, so I'm not the best YouTube watcher. I think watching YouTube is good, like when you watch one video, it was funny, it was entertaining, and then you stop, you're like, okay, I had enough for today. I'll do that, but then I'll keep going. So it's something I'm trying to work on. Just being satisfied with the content I watch, similar to how we might be satisfied with the lift session. Like, when you're satisfied with the lift session, I guess, well, you're tired, so you can't really do much more. But you're also satisfied because you did some good work. And I guess with entertainment, it's like, you should be satisfied you watched this one episode or one show. But, I mean, that's not really how it's made for. So,
yeah.
How about you, really? Snoop?
For me, one of my favorite hobbies, I haven't done it in a while actually though, is I love to fight. I do, I train in Muay Thai. I've trained for about 2 years now. It's something I originally started, I transitioned from boxing because I had big thighs and I wanted to put them to use. So that was that. But it was what it really taught me. It was the self-discipline. It helped instill my first, it was my first introduction to self-discipline, to really what discipline really was. Because it takes a lot. It takes a lot out of you. And because it's so physical, you can see the effort that you need to put in to do what you need to do. And it also builds a sense of loyalty and family, right? Especially in the community that we have. It's like just one big family. It's what it is. Thing is, it also teaches you, you know, everyone says, oh, it's really cool, right? Right now you could beat people up. Like, no, if there's a street fight, I'm out of there. You kidding me? It's not a sanctioned fight. You don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Right? But it teaches you to like look out for threats. It teaches you to look out, like just see things that normal person wouldn't see, right? I always find myself assessing rooms or assessing areas whenever I'm in, right? Just seeing what could happen, what could possibly not happen, whatever. Bad hobbies. Yeah, I'd say I get distracted really easily.
Screech out.
Really fucking easily. That. Yeah.
He chimed in and said,
he's out here trying to put me on blast, which is true. It's true. My screen time is horrible. It's absolutely horrendous. It's one of the worst that you'll probably ever hear. I won't tell you. But it is.
Can you put a numeric value on?
A numeric?
He said he won't tell you. That's the whole point. It's a numeric value.
Let's just say
greater than.
It'll sometimes hit double digits. it's a little bad. That's me. But thing is, I'm on my phone a lot, but it's not always for pleasure. It's mostly on business. But every once in a while, you know, I like to scroll off. I do find myself scrolling on TikTok a little longer than usual. I feel like most people, and that's something I've been working on, trying to put down the TikTok app, pick up the book more often. And one little thing that's helped me recently with my reading is I'll have books that I have to read, like books that I'm reading for my own knowledge to expand, and books that I read for my own pleasure, like not fiction books, you know. So I reward myself by reading the fiction books after I read the books that I have to read. So maybe I have to read 10 to 15 pages of the derivatives book, and then from there I get to read another chapter or two of the book I really want to read. Yeah. Percy Jackson, for me, is still the best series of all time. If you guys haven't read The Red Pyramid, also by Rick Riordan, it's about the Egyptian gods. Definitely read it. Great read. Highly recommend.
Okay. Favorite nonfiction books you guys ever read?
Favorite nonfiction. Probably Atomic Habits is up there.
James Clear?
Yeah. Stuff from Stoicism, like Meditations. I think I will say Letters from a Stoic by Seneca. If I had to pick one, I think a close second is like either Meditations or Way of the Superior Man by David Deida.
I haven't read that one yet.
Yeah, very good. I guess I can go more into depth about it.
Ask for one.
No, I mean about
a little bit of a tangent.
It's just it's just a one book and that's it.
No, don't mind.
Well, how about
Beast is a little bit of a dictator over here.
Well, assume you say your favorite nonfiction.
My favorite nonfiction that I've ever read, Power.
48 Laws of Power.
The 48 Laws of Power, for sure.
By Robert Greene.
And I know there's a lot of controversy behind the book, but it's, you know what, fuck the controversy, because it taught me a lot, and it's also down to how you use it, right? How you use the knowledge that's given to you. Like they say, great knowledge gives you great power. And there are some things in that book, if you use wrong, for sure, it's tough, it's bad. But also, it's helped me notice and realize when it's been happening to me, right? It's helped me realize, especially in my meetings, in my business development meetings, so on social, my interviews, everything. I've been able to look at and identify key clues that I wouldn't have before I read that book. Mm-hmm. So for sure, a very great read, and for sure a book I'd highly recommend.
Which law stood out the most for you?
Good question.
Because 48 of them, you have to pick one.
My mind is blanking.
Or, if you can't answer that question, then how about, like, what do we all think of power? Like,
you've all read it, right?
I've read a summary. I kind of understand what his viewpoint is, but I don't really remember, like, a lot of the main takeaways. I kind of thought that it was, I think the controversy comes in it being sort of ruthless, right?
He talks about manipulation. In there, he talks about like how, like what things you can say or not say, and also body language
and certain social conduct that would put you in an advantage.
Yeah, and it's very influential, especially in a business setting. I'd say that for sure, especially if you're, let's say, maybe trying to get a higher wage in an interview, or you're really trying to impress your interviewer. There are certain things that you would do, right? To them, based off their behavior, suddenly it's like to make yourself more impressionable. Because at the end of the day, every interview is basically them trying to see whether or not you're a good fit for the job.
Right.
And not in terms of technical reasons, right? Because I'm sure you, along with 50 other candidates, are all technically able and sound to do the job. Right. But it's whether or not you will fit in with the work group, right? Because you don't want someone that can do the job but then is a fucking asshole and no one wants to be around him or her, right? That's what they're trying to look for. And I believe that book helps very much with that.
When you read the summary, did any law stand out to you, Crawford?
Man, it was a long time ago. I can't even pinpoint a single law, actually.
If I name a few, you guys think you could, I mean, say anything about it?
What was yours? What was the law for you that stood out?
I remember I had a couple that stood out.
Pick one now.
Yeah, don't go blanking.
No, I'm not blanking. I have a couple in mind.
This is too many.
I guess I could share one that I made a huge mistake on, which was a crazy intro for me into the book. It's actually Law 1. Law 1 says, never outshine your master. And let's just say that I definitely could have
benefited from that prior.
Yep.
I got you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a couple other laws that stood out. I mean, always say it's less than necessary. Assume formlessness. But, no, yeah. Okay, let's move on. What are some core values do you think every man should have?
Some core values.
Top three.
Number one, loyalty. And when I say loyalty, I mean it in all terms of aspects, especially.
Let's do top two.
How about we all name one and it makes it top three?
Okay. Yeah,
so
I like that.
Loyalty.
I'd say loyalty in terms of in every essence, right? Not just in relationships, but also most importantly, and V will agree with me here, your word. Because at the end of the day, that's the last thing and the one thing that a man will have.
A man only has his word.
Simple. And if you can't keep that word, keep that promise, then what are you doing?
Do you want to go next?
Sure.
To read.
I may have to cheat a little. I think these two really go hand in hand. It's not like black and white. But I think at the end of the day, a traditional man's role is being a protector and a provider. You know, sometimes I put on this brave face around my friends, around my family, so they know that there's nothing to be worried about. You know, and I do that even when it's at the cost of my own peace, but that's just a territory, right? It is a man's job that I believe that, hey, take on the weight of this world so your wife, your family, your children can have their peace. So yeah, I would say at the end of the day, it is a man's role to be protector and provider.
To expand a little bit on what V said, I 100% agree on that. But I also believe that as a man, especially when we feel pain, and we've all felt pain, it's what's important is you have to feel the pain, understand the pain, and move from the pain. You can't let it affect you. I think that's the most important thing. Because when you let it affect you, that is the most dangerous situation to be in, for sure. Because you can be out of control and crazy things can happen. And it's not that, oh, I feel pain, but I have to be a man and put it aside. No, that don't do that. When you feel the pain, whatever it may be, feel the pain, really feel it, understand it, and overcome it. Then you can truly move on with your life. Don't just push it aside, because pushing it aside will have it fester and build up, and it will come out eventually. Maybe not 2 to 3 months, but in a couple years. And when it does come out, it'll be 10 times worse than if you had just originally understood it and felt it and overcome it. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
I want to touch briefly on that and just say, I think anger comes from not a bad experience or something harmful, but more from a lack of control. I think that's where anger stems from. And let's see, for the third one, I feel like it's pretty simple. We'll go with discipline, self-discipline. So I feel like that's a cop-out. It's very easy to explain, obviously. Just like be a master of yourself and learn to understand how you function. And then when you understand how you function, then you understand how you can move towards your goals, your vision, your purpose. And in self-discipline comes wisdom, right? Comes courage, and comes justice.
Sure.
So I think that makes a great man, personally speaking.
We got some pretty good qualities here, huh?
I think so, yeah.
Got some pretty good qualities.
Let's switch it up.
I had a question, actually, unless you want to go first. So this is a pretty simple one, right? Would you guys say you're more of an extrovert or introvert?
Okay. Man, I am an introvert, but no one believes it.
He's the most extroverted introvert I've ever had in my life.
Most of my family, my closest friends, I think they will agree. with me that I'm an introvert. I am introvert as in that I love being alone, love being by myself. I am the most rejuvenated, the most productive, the most creative, and my best self when I am by myself and alone. I just happen to be gregarious. I can't engage in any social conduct and be very charismatic with the people that I interact with. Which is why not many people believe that I'm an introvert. I mean, I can see why, because you don't see many introverts like me out there.
You don't see any introverts.
Especially.
One in a million.
I'm not saying it's more as that, but.
He's one in a million, bro.
You
one
said it yourself.
For all the ladies listening, one in a million.
But, yeah. Ladies. I am an introvert.
Ladies.
Take note.
I'm introvert.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. I think I tried to, especially in college, switch from a very introverted mindset to an extroverted mindset,
mm-hmm.
just to talk to more people, get to know more people.
Yeah.
But I think I still hold my introvert roots. I don't think I'll be able to get rid of them. I mean, they're not necessarily a bad or good thing. You know, it doesn't really matter where you're on the spectrum. But
mm-hmm.
for me personally, I like to keep them. So I'll stick with that.
Yeah.
Keep it concise.
For me, I'd say I'm definitely an extrovert. As much as like V, I do like my own personal space, and I like to be alone and just with my thoughts. I love being around people. I also love talking to people. V gets annoyed by it because he thinks I talk too much, but I just love meeting people. I love listening to their stories, where they're from, what they do, their passions. I love that. I love that there's so many different people out there in this world, so many different goals and aspirations. And I love that at the end of the day, we could all connect as human beings. And that's something I've always loved, and something I've just always fallen into, you know? And it's helped me make some great friends. Believe it or not, though, V was the one that came up to me first time we met. Because he needed to charge his AirPods, so.
He was on my practice when I was still.
I was a test subject.
Unable to talk, to socialize. But let's be on the point. Now, we're running out of time here, so let's wrap it up with this question that I think is only fair.
One final question, okay.
I think it's only fair since we talked about top three qualities in a man. What about top three traits in a woman?
Okay, three? One for each again?
One for each, yeah.
Okay.
Gotta keep it fair.
Okay.
I'll start it off then.
Go.
Right back to it. It has to be loyalty. And I'll tell you this. Everyone, it's very easy. It's very easy, right, to say it. So easy to say it. But I've been through college for 4 years. I believe all of us have been through college for a while now, and we have seen some of the most outlandish things that you can ever imagine. At this point, you can't even, like, I don't think anything surprises me anymore when it comes down to it. So loyalty is for sure one of the biggest things, because at the end of the day, the same way all a man has is his word, it comes down to it for a woman as well, right? Because In the sense of, they will run on, women run on emotion, right? So when they do that, it's whatever they feel. So if they're in a relationship and they feel like they're not being loved or they're not being heard, they will look for that feeling somewhere else. And that's where the unloyalty will start to come in and seep in. Because for them, they'll always emotionally cheat first before they officially cheat first. And emotional cheating is the same as official cheating. It's the same thing in my book, right? And I think that's what would stand a great woman out from the average woman, because she will realize that. She will be like, no, because I'm with my person, right? It doesn't matter that we're going through a bad time or whatever it is that may be. He is mine, and I have to stick by him no matter what, right? I've done that.
Okay, V, why don't you go next? I'll finish it off.
I would say I would say the best thing that a woman can do for herself is learning how to master, how to balance her both her masculine and feminine essence. A woman would be so powerful that when she goes out into the world and make her own mark, do her own thing, that she's able to stand her ground and strive for the things that she wants without all the men getting in the way. They are gonna try, but she needs to be able to hold herself down and keep going. But at the same time, she needs to be able to, when she's go back to her home with her man, she's gotta be able to fully trusting in that man and submit to him, as in that, well, and a man has to earn it. But once he does, she's gotta be able to be fully trusting. And as in, so say for me, right, I need a woman to trust me so much that when I say that our family got to move to Mozambique, right, she's got to trust me so much that she won't question me as a man, and she will just know that I'm making this decision for the best of our family, and we'll just go.
Okay, I'll finish it off. Maybe you guys won't fully agree with me here, but I think a woman that, or the third quality, be a woman that is hot, both in physical attractiveness and the kind of energy that she gives off.
Both brain and beauty.
Mm.
I think the kind of heat in a relationship is something that I'm looking for. I'm more of a cold type of guy in the sense of, like, not like emotionally cold per se, but more like I'm more tranquil.
Not affectionate.
Well, I think what I'm trying to say, I'm more on the tranquil side, and I'm a bit more like chill and calm. And I think having a more spicy person might give that nice balance.
The sexual polarities.
Yes,
opposites attract. Opposites attract. That is true.
Well, also the laws of attraction. You attract who you are also.
Mm.
So for those who out there that wonder why you can't find the perfect mate, stop looking. Become that person, and you will automatically attract that person.
Facts.
That's
facts.
Right.
A good friend of mine, I can't name drop him, a good friend of mine, his name is C. I know he's listening. Yeah. He's been telling me this forever. You got to become the person that you want your wife to be, because she's not going to be, he or she is not going to be in the clubs and the bars. Look in the library. Look at the candle section at Target. You might find them, just so you know. All right, on that note, thank you guys for tuning in. This is Brother Snoop.
This is The Deep Plea.
This is V, the special guest.
Peace out.
Cheers.
Bye.